Support for the South Carolina Lead is made possible in part by AARP. The coronavirus continues to affect us all, keeping us apart, but we don't have to be alone. AARP is here in South Carolina, providing information that can help you and your family. Click to connect at aarp.org/sc.
Hello and welcome to the South Carolina Lead. You trust the lead to keep you up to date on important state news, and we've been doing that more often as our state faces the COVID-19 virus. I'm your host, Gavin Jackson, and this episode was recorded on June 19th, 2020, from my home studio in Columbia. Just so you know, some of the information in this podcast may have changed by the time you've heard it. This podcast cuts through the noise and gives you South Carolina-specific COVID-19 news and stories. In this episode, we examine the Supreme Court's landmark decision that prohibits employers from discriminating against LGBTQ employees, something that was legal in South Carolina until Monday. We look at unemployment data and our improving unemployment rate. And what should you plant this summer? We talk with lead horticulturist Britton Fox. And finally, we hear about the link between stress and alcohol misuse and abuse. Additionally, we want to hear your stories, so we set up a voicemail box to hear from y'all about your daily life in these uncertain times. Leave us a one-minute-long voicemail with your name, where you're calling from, and what's going on in your world. Are you going out to eat? Are you going to the beach? Are you having friends over? Are you wearing your mask? What do you think about people not wearing masks? Tell us everything that's on your mind at 803-563-7169. That's 803-563-7169. And now for the latest in South Carolina. Currently, the spread of COVID-19 is ongoing, widespread, and not contained, according to Department of Health and Environmental Control officials. There have been 639 deaths, and currently there are 22,608 cases being reported in all 46 counties as of June 19th at 4 p.m. On Friday, we saw several record highs. The highest percent positive rate at 16.1%, the highest number of patients hospitalized at 660, and a daily new case high of 1,081. DHEC also said that 83 patients on Friday were on a ventilator in the state. What is you doing, South Carolina? What is going on here? Wear a mask, wash your hands, socially distance. Say it with me now. Wear a mask, wash your hands, socially distance. I feel like the people that listen to this podcast probably already do all that stuff, but tell others that don't. These are the steps we all need to take to flatten this curve again. We were doing so good, and then we just botched it. And DHEC also said that a team from the Centers for Disease Control will be on the ground in the state Monday to assist with Hispanic outreach, specifically in the Greenville area. And we have some more data for you, especially the youth out there. Since April 4th, data from DHEC shows that there has been a 413% increase in newly reported COVID-19 cases among the 21 to 30 age group. So that's young people getting infected with COVID-19 at a rate of 413%. And it's even higher for those aged 11 to 20 at 966% of newly reported COVID-19 cases. So the young people are getting these at record-breaking numbers, guys. I know you think you're invincible, but wear a mask, wash your hands, socially distance. I mean, it's the only way we get out of this. And to put this extraordinary data into context, the recovery rate of the first 13,500 cases of COVID-19 is 79%. Again, that's not an excuse not to do your part, but just be aware that that's the recovery rate from COVID-19. Remember earlier this week when the Supreme Court issued its landmark 6-3 decision to give LGBTQ employees across the country federal protections from workplace discrimination? Yes, that happened this week. And yes, before that landmark decision, in places like South Carolina and 28 other states, you could get married on a Saturday and fired on a Monday at work for no other reason other than you were gay or transgender. So to discuss how there is one less institutionalized way to discriminate against our fellow Americans, I spoke with labor lawyer and USC law professor Joseph Seiner via Skype on This Week in South Carolina. And I started off by asking him to explain this decision.
Well, it's a huge case because there's a lot of uncertainty in the lower courts as to whether or not sexual orientation and gender identity were protected categories under civil rights law for purposes of employment. So essentially, prior to this decision, it was acceptable in a number of jurisdictions for employers to terminate somebody simply because you were gay. or simply because of your gender identity. And it's clear now after the Supreme Court decision that that's no longer the case.
And so what was the situation in South Carolina? How did that apply? How does that change things here in South Carolina?
Well, South Carolina had no state law. So there were about 21 jurisdictions, depending upon how you read them, the laws in those jurisdictions, states that protected individuals on the basis of sexual orientation. And South Carolina was not one of those states. So it really changes the law for employers, all of employers in the state of South Carolina. So now if they fire somebody or they discipline somebody or they harass somebody because they're gay or because of their sexual orientation, they can be sued and ultimately lose in federal court. The one thing I would note in South Carolina, as well as elsewhere, federal law only protects employers that have 15 or more employees. So for smaller employers or businesses like, you know, maybe dental outfits or small medical groups, they still may not be covered by these types of laws. But for the larger employers, they're the ones that really need to worry about this. Mm-hmm.
And what was it like in South Carolina prior to this decision? I know you just kind of overviewed that we didn't have this protection. What was the recourse for an LGBTQ employee who was discriminated against by their employer? What kind of recourse did they have? Did they have any recourse?
None. So basically you had no recourse. An employer was free to take an adverse action against you unless you lived in a city that might have an ordinance that would prohibit that or certain policy protections, but by and large, there were no protections prior to 2 days ago.
Wow, so just one less way to be discriminated against, at least in the workplace, it sounds like. But how prevalent are you aware how prevalent this issue was, at least in South Carolina? Do we see a lot of these cases? Did a lot of employers just maybe take it upon themselves to use their own language and their policies to make sure that they weren't discriminated against people based on their sexuality or their gender identity?
Yeah, that's a great point. And by and large, I would say most employers were not discriminating on the basis of, you know, gender identity or sexual orientation. However, now they really need to worry about it. At the same time, they didn't need to be concerned about any type of litigation. So from a best practices standpoint now, what they really need to do is be proactive to change their policies if they don't include these protected categories, to update that, to do a lot of training in this area to make sure that other employees that they may not even be aware of aren't making jokes or discriminatory comments or harassing them in certain ways. Because, you know, that now they have to worry about fighting this type of litigation that would have been just dismissed outright had the claim been filed.
So, but do you know if it was a really prevalent problem here in South Carolina when it came to discrimination along those lines?
It's a little bit of who you talk to. It's impossible to know for sure because since you didn't have a cause of action, no one was filing the case. Mm-hmm. So I do think there was a lot of concern about it happening in South Carolina, as well as across the whole Southeast, that this type of discrimination was going on, whether overtly or perhaps even unconsciously in some cases. Mm-hmm. So it resolves the issue, and it makes for employers in some ways it's good because employers that may have businesses scattered across the country, now the law is very, very clear in this area, and it makes things a lot simpler. Mm-hmm. One other point that this was a surprise decision.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. It was a very conservative court and 6-3 ruling.
Yeah, and I think there's a jump to extend this to other areas beyond the employment setting. And I think you have to be careful with that, particularly with the lineup of the judges. I think with two conservative justices joining this decision, I think they were doing it primarily in the way the law was written. I mean, just going back to basics. And, you know, my opinion on the way the law was written on its face, it just was pretty clear that it protected these groups. And with that in mind, I think you'd have to be really cautious to say that this goes beyond employment and into other areas like housing or other industries.
You can watch that entire interview on This Week in South Carolina on Sunday at 11:30 a.m. on SCETV channels statewide and also on youtube.com/SouthCarolinaETV. Hit that subscribe button. You got to mash it. Keep watching. I also have an interview with DHEC Dr. Brandon Trexler on as well. Our business section of this episode is now our home and garden section. But real quick, right before we get to that, I want to update you on the state's latest employment data. The South Carolina Department of Employment and Workforce announced that the unemployment rate was down slightly in May to 12.5% from April's 12.8%. So still high, but below the national rate of 13.3%. The leisure and hospitality industry had the biggest month-to-month gains, but we're still down some 92,000 jobs year-over-year. Unemployment claims also returned to their downward trajectory, with 19,366 South Carolinians filing their initial claim for unemployment insurance benefits for the week ending June 13th. So like I said, in lieu of our business discussion, we're talking gardening because it's summer. Yeah, it's like some fun summer in the sun music right there, maybe, perhaps, no? Okay. Here's my discussion with resident lead horticulturist Brenton Fox. It is the first day of summer, leaders, and to celebrate, we have brought back the lead's resident horticulturist, Brenton Fox of Boone Fox Farms. That's also her Instagram account, so check it out, Boone Fox Farms. Brenton, great to see you, my friend.
Yes, I'm happy to be back.
It's nice to see you. We're at AT's house. We're on his front porch in the I think he's on Street. There's a palm tree up front.
Oh, it's green.
It's green. So, Brenton, we have some things to talk about. I brought an onion.
You brought
one of my plants.
plant props.
But let's go back to when we last talked, which was during the springtime. Mm-hmm. Some of our listeners hopefully took our advice, got a little garden going. Maybe they put it in the ground. They put in some pots. So I'm wondering right now that we are now summer. We've survived the spring. We had a great spring. Great weather.
We did. It was like not too hot. We had plenty of rain. So hopefully people's gardens were successful.
Hopefully, right? I mean, made their victory garden to a triumph, not a defeat. So if they did, what are some easy ways they can expand their gardens and maybe make it summer-proof, ready for this summer heat?
Yeah. So some of the stuff that you planted in the spring might still be going on. So if you were ambitious and you had already gotten your tomatoes into the ground in spring, those are probably going to continue to produce through July. Mm. But maybe if you hadn't gotten to that point yet, starting to get into what I call the fruiting vegetables is a good plant to focus on for summer. So we got tomatoes, eggplants, okra. Mm. Those are all pretty foolproof as far as handling the heat. Mm-hmm. Cucumbers and squash can also handle heat, but they're a little bit more susceptible to some disease, pest pressure. So if you do plant those, don't get down if they don't succeed. okra and tomatoes, they can handle it. You just need to make sure you're watering them. So we talked about in spring, making sure your water system, if it's a hose, is close by so you can get it done and get it done well.
And they can also pot these tomatoes too.
Oh,
and
totally.
You get your little cages and you get them to grow up too.
Yeah. So if you're growing, especially if you're in an apartment, in a duplex, or if you just really don't want to turn your backyard into a full garden and you want to have your stuff in potted plants, again, just making sure you're watering them really well. Mm-hmm. Pots don't have as much soil, so the soil is going to dry out faster. The plant's going to need to be able to absorb enough of that to keep going. And that kind of goes into also replenishing some of our nutrients that our plants need. So if you do still have tomatoes going, replenishing some nitrogen into them. There are liquid soluble nitrogens. You can find this stuff both online or at your gardening store. If you go to a local gardening store, they'll be able to really help you out as far as even if you have something going on with your plant, you can describe it. And most people at those local places will be willing to talk to you about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. And then you're also talking about fertilizing and mulching and, you know, what people should be doing to make sure that, you know, they're not having to deal with weeds as much or make sure that moisture kind of gets a little bit more retention in the soil.
Yeah. So, and that's going to apply for both if you're growing stuff in pots or if you're growing in a raised bed or in the ground. Nitrogen leaches out of the soil the quickest. So that's typically one that I apply when I first plant, and then I apply again about halfway through the growing stage, so probably a month into growing. Your phosphorus and your potassium, if you ever look at a fertilizer bag and it says NPK, we're talking about nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium. Phosphorus and potassium don't really need to be replenished like the nitrogen does, but don't be afraid to use those things. The They're pretty easy to apply. A lot of them come in granules, so you're not having to spray something or so it's easy to do.
Yeah, I use like the shake feed, the shake and feed from Miracle-Gro, and just, you know, every now and then, like, as you can see, my beautiful alocasia right here, little baby sprouting up.
I know, he does have a little bud. So yeah, so when you think about what nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium are doing, nitrogen's creating the leafy green that helps the plant photosynthesize, which the plant can't live if it can't photosynthesize. When you go into your phosphorus, that's actually helping the plant take that energy for photosynthesis and create the plant that it is. Potassium is what's helping the plant absorb water, absorb nutrients out of the soil. So just like if we are dehydrated or we're low on potassium, you're going to have cramps. Your body's not moving nutrients through your body correctly. This is a really basic science explanation.
Yeah, but it's understandable. People get you got to feed your plants. We need food.
Exactly.
They need food. They need water. We got a nice little flyover going on here too. But kind of going back to this plant too, I just, you know, when should people be splitting off their plants, making sure there's enough room for them? I mean, no one likes to be too crowded and
for
plants
sure.
about the same way.
So, especially for your house plants. I would say repotting your house plants once a year. And you can kind of, if you're seeing stuff sprouting off of it, that's another good indication that maybe you need to split it up, because essentially the plant's trying to create a whole nother self. So it needs room to be able to spread out like that. And again, we were talking about in a pot, you know, there's only so much space in there for the roots to grow. And if, you know, eventually if they're taking up too much space in there, they're not absorbing enough nutrients, there's not enough soil in there to give them nutrients. So
it's
repotting
itself too.
Yeah. Repotting is good. And it's kind of fun. It's a fun task to do, I think.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's the thing. You know, I went to Lowe's. I've also been going to Gardner's Outpost. I got some great mint after our last discussion and I repotted that too because it really needed it, and now it's just a world of difference. You know, you can't really keep it in the pots that they come in.
Yes.
And then I didn't have enough, so I just said, okay, I'm going to buy a bunch of things. Then you end up with more plants, so then you start repotting things, and you have a whole bunch of potting soil. So I'm like, let me repot all my plants inside.
Yes,
I mean, and they love it because they need it, and you know, and you just see such a difference
for sure
in how they're doing. And you know, everyone succeeded in the repotting transplant process, because I know it's stressful for them. So you just give them a good soaking, and then you just let them sit and get readjusted.
Yeah, water them well. Don't be, you know, don't fret if after a day they still look a little droopy. It takes, you know, they have a little adjustment period. Mm-hmm. Don't fret, but just keep it well watered. It's going to perk up.
When I make that transfer, should I give it a good boost of like fertilizer or feed too?
Yeah, nitrogen is like probably the best one. It's eaten the fish emulsion. Water-soluble nitrogen that you can get. I mean, most gardening stores have them. I'm pretty sure Lowe's even carries it now. Mm. I know the marijuana enthusiasts love it. So it's out there. it doesn't smell great. You do dilute it, but I just, you know, don't be put off by its smell. The smell will dissipate very quickly.
Well, Bryn, we've kind of covered a lot, and I appreciate you talking with us. You've been doing your bouquets. Can people still jump into your program here?
Just tell us what it is. So the early summer shares, I do a subscription program for my bouquets. Those are about to be done, but I am going to be putting the fall bouquet shares for sale on July 1st.
Ooh, okay.
So that's very soon. If you want to make sure that you receive, you know, receive the announcement that they've been put on sale, if you go to my website at the bottom of the page, you can sign up for my newsletter.
What's your website?
Website is boonfoxfarm.com.
Anything else you want to add, Bryn, before we jump out?
Well, I guess during the pandemic, there's been a little increase in waste just because a lot of stuff is having to be transitioned to disposable. So one thing, if you're getting a lot of cardboard coming in from packages being delivered, because that's another kind of creation of waste that's happening, is just a lot more delivery, which is good. It's keeping people at home. It's giving people the option to not have to go out to stores. But if you're having a lot of cardboard come in, cardboard is a great thing to put around your garden. You can lay the cardboard down and it will help keep weeds at bay. It breaks down. Biodegradable substance. So
like how far underneath the soil? Like an inch and a half?
You can just put it right on top and then put something on top of it. So you could put like wood chips on top of it, compost on top of it. If you're putting it around to keep weeds out of the raised bed or from, you know, if you want to make like the potted area look nice, lay it down and put some nice mulch around it. Just bag mulch will be fine.
Perfect.
But yeah, that's a way to kind of reduce some waste
now. Little hack there. Yeah, and you can, you're not recycling it, recycle it in your garden. So,
yes.
Bryn Fox, thank you very much.
Yeah.
Love catching up with you. We'll
I'm
see you in the fall.
Yes. We'll fall update later.
Over our 40 episodes dedicated to COVID-19, we've discussed the pressures associated with this pandemic, how to handle them or find help for problems like drugs, alcohol, mental health problems, or domestic violence, just to name a few. And recently, we've been revisiting some of those topics because it's important to be aware of the warning signs. Bobby Connor has this interview with Dr. Josh Smith about the increase in risk for developing an alcohol problem during stressful times and tips for reducing alcohol consumption. Dr. Smith is an associate professor of psychiatry and behavioral science, and he is the clinical director of the Center for Drug and Alcohol Programs at MUSC.
Dr. Smith, are people at higher risk for developing an alcohol problem during this stressful COVID-19 crisis?
I'd say the answer to that is yes. There's a lot of reasons, I think, that make it a high risk period. Among those is that there's been a big disruption in everyday life. People are having issues with finances, jobs, relationships are strained because people are spending a lot of time at home. And there's a change in just the fundamental way that people are doing things. People are isolated. They're lonely. We're starving for human touch and connection. And so there's a lot of things that are making people feel stressed out. Studies show that whenever we survey folks, that people are mostly feeling afraid and worried, and they're also feeling lonely and isolated. And those are risk factors for using things to cope. And if people use alcohol to cope, which is not that uncommon, then it makes it fertile ground for developing a problem.
Well, let's talk about alcohol consumption in general. What is considered moderate drinking for adults?
For an adult in the United States, the National Institute on Alcohol Abuse and Alcoholism has said that no more than 3 drinks per occasion for a woman and 7 drinks in a week. And no more than 4 drinks in an occasion for a man and 14 drinks in a week, which basically equates to about a drink a day for a woman and 2 drinks a day for a man. That's considered to be low-risk drinking. And the data from the National Institute on Alcohol Abuse and Alcoholism shows that people that drink at that level and under it, only 2 in 100, only a 2% chance for developing an alcohol problem. And the important thing, I think, is to know that the numbers are actually evidence-based. It's not just somebody deciding that this is how much people should drink. These numbers show what they do is they look at the rate of problems that emerge whenever people drink at certain levels. And what they find is that people that drink at these levels, only 2 in 100 will develop an alcohol problem.
And what can people do to prevent developing an alcohol problem?
Well, 2 things would be really important. The first is to count and monitor how much you're drinking. If you're drinking above what's recommended, then it's time to dial it down. Also, secondly, it's important to notice the reasons why you're drinking. If you're drinking to manage your stress, that can become a habit, and it can make it harder to deal with stress in the future without relying on alcohol. So if that happens, it's important to dial it down for that reason, too.
What are some of the real life tips for people who want to try to reduce their alcohol consumption right now? What might help them in that goal?
Well, keeping less alcohol in the home is going to be a big advantage to someone that wants to cut back on drinking. Simply not having access is going to be an important thing. Positive life-affirming activities like exercise, gardening, and developing a skill. Reaching out to family, friends, clergy, or treating professionals. Online support groups are aplenty right now. And also tell those people around you that you're trying to cut back or curb your drinking. So that way it becomes something that others around you can support you to do. And finally, even self-development and self-help literature can be useful.
Thank you, Bobby. And again, yes, sometimes we can be playful about how we discuss alcohol consumption, but for some people, it can turn into a real problem if left unchecked. So be aware of your consumption. Do not use it as a coping mechanism, because that's a road to dependency you don't want to be on. You can also find more of Bobby Connor's reporting on SouthCarolinaPublicRadio.org. Now, this is our wind down section where we want to hear from you. Tell us what's going on in your world. Do you still have to go to work? Are you a medical professional on the front lines of this pandemic? Are you a server? Are you a bartender? What's it like out there in the world? How are you handling self-isolation if you aren't out there and about? We want to know. We just want to know. We have to know. We're craving. We're desperate to know. 803-563-7169. It's just one of those things that we want to know, because this is a little time capsule into an interesting time that we're all living through. And the more we hear about your experiences, the better off we're going to be looking back, hopefully a year from now, hopefully just a couple months from now, thinking, oh man, what interesting times we live through. Very difficult, interesting times. That being said, AT, do we have any voicemails?
No.
Oh. 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 that we were doing so, we were doing such a good job before, and we had so many, and
they don't care.
No,
they don't care anymore. We've been thrown to the side.
I'll pretend like, let me pretend like I'm leaving a voicemail here. I'm beep. Hey, Gavin AT, just want to say you guys are doing a really great job.
Oh, hey, Gavin AT, you guys are really cool. I think you guys are sweet and are really funny.
I think we actually got a, didn't we have a voicemail way back when from Kermit the Frog?
Hey there, Piggy's not home. She wouldn't let me call.
Whoa, oh my God, Kermit the Frog on our voicemail. Holy cow.
You can't believe it. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Kermit.
So you guys don't call in, which just means we talk more. I can do more impressions. If you guys want impressions, just call in, let us know, or if you hate them.
803-563-7169. Phone lines are open. Operators standing by.
Gavin doesn't know what to talk about, so I have plenty to talk about. The other day, I stayed up till 2:30 in the morning watching all three Hobbits straight in a row.
Your parents let you stay up past two?
It was crazy. I couldn't believe my dad said yes.
Oh my God.
And
jealous.
So that was great. Gavin doesn't want to talk about that because he hates The Hobbit.
You can talk about it. It's my show.
I don't understand why they put Legolas in this movie. I mean, I get that Orlando Bloom's a real hunk, certified hunk, hashtag.
Can I just tell you that I've never really seen a full episode of The Hobbit, so maybe you should have spent that time educating me by making me come over and watch it?
You wanted to stay up until 3 a.m.?
I mean, my parents don't let me do that. Are you crazy?
You crazy? In bed by 8?
God. I might be 34. I mean, going on 34, July 8th. Send us birthday presents. but, I mean, I can't. I got to ask my parents first.
So I have another topic that Gavin will definitely... He's heated more about this one, is that...
literally heated.
Yes. So someone mentioned to me the other day about Totino's pizza rolls, which I have never had. A blind spot in my life. And it's
let that sink in, folks.
Yeah, I've never had a Totino's pizza roll. But then also it made me think that Gavin thinks I'm super un-American because I've also never had a Whopper or a Big Mac.
I mean, folks, are you hearing the words coming out of his mouth? AT is an actual American citizen. But
shockingly.
I mean, is he? But are you? If you haven't had a Big Mac or a Whopper, or both
at once,
at the same time, or a pizza roll. It doesn't have to be Totino's. But I mean, when I go to Costco, I get the bags of it. Ask anyone who's ever come to a Gavin Jackson house party, which are now sadly few and far between. But there's always some pizza rolls in the fridge because come late night, when my parents are asleep,
you want those pizza rolls?
I fire
baby.
Up the Totino's.
I think I topped out at Bagel Bites. I definitely had Bagel Bites.
Oh, I mean, well, pizza's on a bagel. You can really eat pizza anytime. That's
anytime, yeah. Pizza in the morning, pizza in the evening, pizza in supper time. I mean, anytime.
And pizza while you're driving a car or while you're flying a plane. I mean,
it doesn't matter.
Anytime.
I did like that at the beginning of the pandemic. I saw a tweet that said, if you're not good at counting to 20, you could just sing the Bagel Bites theme song. That's 20 seconds. That's how long you wash your hands for.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, hopefully people are still washing their hands. Jesus.
No one washes their hands anymore. And then my last.
Back to normal.
This is my ultimate adult good news. In lieu of sports at all in this time, I've been watching Top Chef. And my number one favorite, Melissa, she won. I would have been happy with Melissa or Brian Voltaggio, but I'm very happy Melissa won. She was the best all season. I actually was like screaming like, yeah, when she won. So, I mean, I'm starved for competition.
So there it is, folks. A variety of topics that had to have hit a nerve in at least one of you listening. So much so that you'll call in 803-563-7169 and buy AT a Whopper and or Big Mac.
No.
And make him eat it. Well, we're going to do it one of these days. I mean, we did that chicken nugget challenge last year, which I ate more chicken nuggets than you. Let's
That's fine. I'm not competitive. I don't care.
Yeah, but I mean, I wanted to finish it.
I didn't.
That was like,
he wanted the challenge that he's talking about is he wanted to eat 100 chicken nuggets between the two
of
us.
We split it, right? We split it like 50-50.
I got about 27 nuggets in. And was like,
we didn't keep count because we started blacking out from the sodium.
It was disgusting. He also went very cheap. I was willing to pay up for
we
the
went
McDonald's
Burger King.
Nuggets.
That's right, because they were 10 for a buck.
You got $10 for 100 nuggets, Burger King nuggets. And I was not, I wasn't pleased. I didn't love it. First, we had to find a Burger King.
We had to drive all the way to North Columbia on a cycle. We're driving to golf course, which we've been golfing.
No one wants to talk about that. But I mean,
no one's talking. We'll talk about that.
Gavin, hit him
with
the number one more time, because if they don't call in, they're going to get more of this. I got more lists of stuff to talk about.
This is your new reality if you folks don't call in. 803-563-7169. You get a free Big Mac, you get a free Whopper, or a bag of Totino's pizza rolls. Your choice. 803-563-7169. Some exclusions apply.
All exclusions. You gotta say that like the Micro Machine Man.
No, but if I say some, then people might think that there might be one or two, but...
Pathetic losers.
All right, folks. Well, another week down, and we'll see you next week. Thanks again for tuning into the pod. And you can keep up with the latest news on SCETV.org and SouthCarolinaPublicRadio.org. And don't forget to support your local newspapers and also support SCETV and South Carolina Public Radio. Become a member of the ETV Endowment. We can't do this without you, especially getting those great programs on air, both on radio and on TV. We rely on your funding to help us get that quality programming to everyone in the state of South Carolina. We are here for you, our lead community, throughout this week. And as the situation continues to develop, we are in full-scale hashtag lead laugh love mode together. For the South Carolina Lead, I'm Gavin Jackson. Be well, South Carolina. Please speak into the microphone so the stenographer can get an accurate recording.
Stenographer, please.
Note that the stenographer has left the room. FBI has entered group chat. Put that at the end.